しぶき、しょうしむとちょんりろでし、にでげんばんじ、さ、
어떻게다 가정 신주시 세다 신주시니 니 조바 도바 조바 스다 시샤다.
Okay, so next the four changeable mental factors. Yeah. So the four changeable mental factors are sleep, regret, investigation, and analysis. So according to the compendium of knowledge, sleep is a withdrawal of the mind in dependence upon sleep. Its cause, then with respect to virtue, non-virtue, and the unspecified, the timely and untimely, and the appropriate and the inappropriate, and is involved with ignorance, and it has the function of acting as a support for failing to perform actions.
Okay, Gündem la tene onşe yula çubar ame ba nang tubar çibe lo şiko osta.
So just as been said above, it's an awareness that causes the engagement in objects of the sense consciousness to powerlessly withdraw inwards, independence upon its causes, such as the heaviness of the body, weakness, fatigue, and attention to signs of darkness. So the object of observation of sleep is either virtue, non-virtue, or unspecified. So for focusing on any of these, whether virtuous, non-virtuous, or unspecified, and the aspect is in the withdrawal of the mind inwards. No? And it is a withdrawal that happens powerlessly. And the function is specified there. It acts as a support for failing to engage in, failing to perform actions. So sleep is a consciousness basically, right? It's a mental factor, so it's a consciousness, right? What's the difficult to kind of fit this in the mind, right? To think of sleep as a kind of mind. So next thing is an explanation of the words timely and untimely. So there's untimely sleep and timely sleep. Yeah. So according to Nagarjuna in his letter to a friend, he said, "O sensible ones, occupy yourself the entire daytime and also the first and last parts of the night. Sleep with mindfulness between these, then even the time of sleep will not be wasted." So just as it has been said above, the middle watch of the night is the time for sleep, so that's timely sleep, yeah? Okay, in the middle watch of the night. Whereas the first and the last watches of the night, as well as daytime, not being the time for sleep, are times which is untimely. So are times for making effort in the application of virtue, hence it is taught in this way for the purpose of comprehending these modes. So,
어 독신에 따던다 갈스나
So we divide the day into, we divide the entire day into basically daytime and nighttime, yeah? So any kind of sleep during the day is considered to be untimely. And then you have the night. So the night, you know, the first part of the night and the last part of the night are also considered times, untimely times, you know, untimely period for sleep, yeah? So the time is considered suitable for sleep is the one in the middle of the night, yeah? The middle part of the night, yeah.
What did they study? Doctor, I'm all to suggest that they are called Singy Dirt, said the answers to my Jabakua, Jua, but that's the Shido Shark, the Yunaman, Lord, and they shall two men up in Jabba, Dumba, Jabakua, Jua, but Singy Dirt said.
So let's say, what if we divide the, let's say if the first part of the night starts from about 7, 8, 9, 10, let's say.
So until 10 o'clock, cannot sleep.
So then 11, 12, 1, and 2 is perhaps the, which is the middle part of the night,
yeah.
So if that's the case, then the last part of the night would be from 3 to 6, basically. 3, 4, 5, and 6, right? Some people are still awake at that time, I think. Not some people, I think a lot of people.
Oh, that's me. That pena that two down two my bus. That on the knee, Carsena. But Carso, that in this, that visited the Shagamendo, that in the Saddle, that Tinema, that. So.
Then next is the explanation of the appropriate and inappropriate. So regarding the appropriate and inappropriate, sleeping during the middle watch of the night out of the wish to engage in virtue by developing the elements of the body is appropriate, whereas sleep motivated by afflictions even during the middle watch of the night is inappropriate. Hence, it is taught for the sake of understanding this. Okay, so sleep is divided into timely and untimely. So we have to engage in timely sleep. And on top of that, there's also appropriate and inappropriate sleep. Yeah. So we also have to engage in appropriate sleep.
Yeah.
This what you find in the Lamrim literature, in the stages of the path of enlightenment, where it is said that, you know, at this point in where we have obtained a human life, freedoms and endowments, then we should strive, you know, in virtue day and night. Yeah. So this discussion of sleep, you know, timely and appropriate sleep, is basically made in that context.
Yeah.
So this is emphasized to be this is greatly emphasized, yeah. You know, especially, you know, the importance of engaging in timely and also very appropriate sleep, yeah. Especially in the context of having a human life of freedoms and endowments. Because let's say if we live for 80 years, half of the life is spent in sleep, isn't it? Yeah. So for that half of that life, whether that sleep, you know, becomes worthwhile or not, and it depends on whether we have engaged in timely sleep and also whether we have we know how to engage in sleep, how to fall asleep. Yeah. Isn't it? Whether it's appropriate or not, right?
Ni kuba tea, that tomato matamache, that ni dea, that on that gave a hound, daughter of Sini, Niku Quash, than the lapse of Tisungu Yare, but Ravata, Niku, Tula Niku, and Niku, Nagam Layan, that go Gulung Sambu Sheta, Sani Nobulanche, that Jesu Chigins, that Jesu Tandani Sajab, and his Jesu Chig, that Nobulanche, that Jaw Chigins, Tindig Gulung number Tambuzi.
So this is emphasized, how to sleep properly. Otherwise, you know, then all the time that is spent sleeping, perhaps half of the life, you know, then all could go to waste, yeah. So essentially, basically, this is an advice of how we can make this time meaningful. Yeah, such a great part of our lives, you know, spend sleeping. How to make it meaningful? Yeah. So the way to make the sleep meaningful is basically, you know, being dependent on the motivation. Is essentially, yeah. So it's important to fall asleep, you know, to engage in sleep, and to fall asleep within a virtuous state of mind. Yeah. So when one of us is about to fall asleep, you know, then one tries to do so while, you know, maintaining a virtuous state of mind and falling asleep with that kind of thought, yeah, and then also with the intention, you know, to be able to wake up, you know, early or at the right time, so to continue one's virtuous practice, yeah. So if we have this kind of intention, this kind of motivation, you know, then it makes that. Those hours of sleep, whether it's 2, 3, 4, 5 hours or whatever, it makes those that length of time, you know, that you spend sleeping worthwhile, meaningful.
What in the scene? That on that, you got that children to smother that the carcina that taco needed shinju says that carcina that needed shinju now says that carcina or gave a word you do it, me gave a word you do it, that colonel tobly, the Jamie can you dress it.
So sleep here is classified as a changeable mental factor. Why? Because sleep can either be virtuous or non-virtuous, dependent on the motivation.
So 다 미제베 차 니몬지니 니기니 제베차 쇼로 쳐봐 오스다 드린다 니기 제베차 쇼로 치게 세티다 시기하드
So its function or is specified as for failing to perform actions because since sleep is of two types, the virtuous and non-virtuous. The non-virtuous type, afflicted sleep, causes virtuous activities to degenerate. So its function specified here as failing to perform actions refers mainly to non-virtuous sleep.
Yeah.
So the essence is important to sleep, you know, and fall asleep with a virtuous state of mind and with the intention, you know, to wake up, you know, and then to continue one's practice, yeah. Yes. What is the meaning of developing the elements of the body?
What is the meaning of that?
Putting on weight, I guess. Joking. The body is made up of the four elements, yeah, earth, water, fire, and wind. Yeah. So, you know, one's health is in, you know, you're in good health, or, you know, you're able to do stuff, you know. When the four elements that make up your body are in equilibrium, they are balanced, yeah. Okay, so by sleeping and by engaging in timely sleep, the elements of the body are in equilibrium, and so then it promotes health and an ability to engage in actions. Yeah. So if once if the elements of the body are not in balance, yeah, then it affects, yeah, basically affects our health and our ability, you know, to do stuff. Yeah.
That 진대게 꾸는 돈에 다 랑기 기초체 루토던데 고구 개발 체외체도 다 니 고구 있다 꾸는 진대지 된지 니 고구 했다 돈데
Well, there's a need to develop the elements of the body because there's a close connection between our bodies and mind. Because the whole purpose of sleeping is to such that you get rest so that you can continue in the virtuous practice. Yeah. And when we engage in virtuous practice, you know, the mind must be very strong, yeah, powerful. Yeah. And since the mind is kind of dependent, closely related to the state of one's physical health. Yeah. So therefore, it's important to develop the elements of the body. Yeah. So one can go to sleep with the kind of motivation of thinking that, oh, I'm going to rest my body, you know, so that I can, you know, continue in practice. Yeah.
Joba, setting of Bakuna, Joba Kanshana, Samba, Masan, Chavata, Chava Maiba, Kain, Bala, Tene, Javada, Mijavata, Lundu, Matemba, Tudor, Tumaima, Ribada, Miripa. Last same to Yila Chapa, Timoka Chatopate, same name, Padujib, the Genos.
Next is a regret. So, what is regret? It is a remorseful mind dependent on any activity or improper activity, intended or unintended with respect to virtue, non-virtue and the unspecified, the timely and the untimely, and the appropriate and the inappropriate, and it is involved with ignorance. It has the function of hindering the stability of the mind.
So just as
it has been said above, yeah. So independence on oneself having performed an appropriate or inappropriate activity deliberately, or having been made to do so under duress, being remorseful about that activity which one subsequently comes to dislike is called generating regret. So the object observation of regret, they are either basically, you know, the objects are either the activities that you have performed yourself or something that you were made to do by somebody else, yeah. And the aspect is perhaps dislike, yeah. In some texts, the objects of observations for regret are posited as the activities of oneself and others. Different, yeah. So earlier is the activities that you performed yourself or the activities that you were made to do by somebody else. But here we are saying that in some texts, the object of observation for regret can either be the activities performed by yourself or somebody else's activities. I guess it's possible to regret, to develop regret for somebody else's actions. Yeah. What do you think?
It's possible or not?
I regret you having achieved enlightenment. 那个什么 regret 啊 regret 那是 non virtue 啊 So yeah, this is something to think about because it's not in really in this text, but in some other texts, it is that also stated that you could develop regret, you know, for somebody else's. Actions, yeah.
Okay,
so then regret is of three types here. Virtuous, non-virtuous, and unspecified. Regret for past misdeeds. Let's say you regret, you did something wrong in the past. So that kind of regret is considered virtuous. Regret for having created merit, you know, is non-virtuous. The regret for something that neither benefited nor harmed others, such as manual work, is unspecified. So next is an explanation of the words timely and untimely, appropriate and appropriate as they appear in the definition.
Yeah.
Okay, so timely and untimely means that generating regret when something is rectifiable is appropriate. Whereas regret when it is not is inappropriate. So moreover, appropriateness of regret when it is rectifiable refers to, for instance, the necessity to confess misdeeds with regret before the fruition has been established in the present. Non-rectifiable means refers to, for instance, rebirth in a bad migration due to fruition having been established. Since having been born blind, physically disabled, where is it? and so forth are occasions where the fruition has been established and they are irreversible. I mean, even in the conventional sense, you know, when we talk about regret, we people always talk about, you know, the need to not the importance of not regretting. You don't end up regretting, yeah, and it's not good to regret. Yeah. But that is made in the, that statement is made in the context of regretting in a situation where, you know, everything has been done really, you know, and then it is finished, it is over, and you can't do anything about it, you know. So in that kind of situation, it's pointless to regret. So that it is untimely, and because it's not rectifiable, and therefore, it is inappropriate, isn't it? Too late, basically, yeah. Timely regret is appropriate, because if you generate regret, you know, before, you know, the consequences are bad, you know, come into existence, yeah. So before the result comes to fruition, you know, then you can do something about it. Let's say, you know, engage in confession and purify those negativities, yeah. Regret is said to be, you know, coming to dislike, you know, being remorseful about the activity which one subsequently comes to dislike, isn't it, right? So if we have that kind of mind, you know, that kind of, it is very helpful when it comes to confession, yeah, because then it gives force, you know, power to the purification, to the confession, isn't it? Because you don't like what happened, you don't like what was done, and you know, right? You didn't, so you know, you confess. So regret, so is a state of, is the mind, basically, right? It's a state of mind. It's not words, you know. So most of us, you know, when we talk about regret, we just talk about it, and you know, it's just words, you know. Yeah, but it's not, you know, it's not something to repeat or just recite, you know. But you know, it is a state of mind, and it is being remorseful about the activity which one subsequently comes to dislike. When we engage in confession, we are supposed to apply the four opponent powers, yeah. So regret comes in the application of the four opponent powers. So the time is in, so it is important and to apply or to engage in timely regret. So therefore, detailed examination of these passages from the Compendium of Knowledge seems to be a marvelous method for generating certainty regarding the stages of the path. If you think about it, yeah, regretting, you know, regretting in somebody's virtuous action, yeah, is probably negative. It's probably negative, yeah. It's not virtuous, yeah. But if we regret, you know, generally regret, you know, for, you know, because somebody did something really bad or something non-virtuous, yeah, then that regret is virtuous, yeah.
What in the air, sir? That in the cardo, that doctor is the couple is talking. What is it? That in the ma, that top bottom job, say that on that. Did it that did it that job by Shinjuna Shah, did it that job at Taco, Yemiki, Mumati, or Nasosun, that on the teaching at Taco, touch it. Never made any sung your head.
So regret is also is classified as a changeable mental factor because, you know, regret could be virtuous, non-virtuous, or unspecified. It's not, there's no definite certainty about the nature of regret. Yeah.
Okay, next is F3 and 4. Last two,
investigation and analysis. So what is investigation? It is a mental expression of inquiry, depending on either intention or wisdom. It is a coarse mind. And analysis is a mental expression of individual examination, depending on either intention or wisdom. It is a fine mind. And their function is to act as a support for abiding in contact and not abiding in contact.
Kansa, talk about Kansa. Injil.
Talk about the investigation.
Investigation.
Choba? Choba the analysis. Cheers.
Analysis. Talk about investigation.
Investigation.
Topa.
Topa rapat.
Which is more coarse in English, investigation or analysis? Huh? Investigation, right? Analysis seems to imply some looking into more into detail, right? Right.
I don't know how to say. Okay. That is what I mean. That is what I mean. That is what
Oh, just as he has been said above, investigation is an inquiry into the rough entities of objects as well as their names, whereas analysis analyzes with fine discrimination.
What 다 돈다 티레 심 진화세시 다 돈다 똑바세디 심 진화세시 도 강아 심 진화세지 진화다 시바세지 모도 왔다 누에 진화 테니 심 진화 오스고 먹고 누 찍듯이 도 왔다 먹고 누 찍고 나도 왔다 테니 심 진화 오스 똑바다 디스그와 테니 심 시 시바오세디 안 좁아라 송아 군도 지금
시와 시바라
시바 샤지 시바 시
시분디 잠오다 시 징와데 징오디
가르마 규레 징와스나 다 가서
라바마라
라바라
So investigation is a coarse mind, yeah? And analysis is a fine mind.
십소부터 해야 되면 되지.
Yeah. Fine, as in looking at things, you know, in detail. Not fine as in, you know, fine dining or very nice, you know. Fine.
어떤데를 시작할 때 잡으시도 다 도박 다티는 본방에 잡시리 도박 강시는 군도 주에 얘기 줘봤대 샘바당 시라비치라 강샘바 샘증어 오 조박 강시는 소로도 얘기 줘봤대 대신은 샘강 시와 시송대 구진이가 송통발 나오었다.
Then, in according to the discussion of the five aggregates, investigation is a mental expression of inquiry. It is a coarse mind. Depending on the particularities of either intention or wisdom. And analysis is a mental expression of individual examination. It is the fine line depending on the particularities of either intention or wisdom. Both Asanga and Vasubandhu agree on this explanation. So the objects of investigation and analysis can be virtuous, non-virtuous, or unspecified. And the aspect of investigation is a coarseness, and the aspect of analysis is you can't say fineness, yeah, but I don't know how to say, but aspect of
the ship to chin, the number the ship to chin, job as
aspect of
ship to chin, ship to chin, job number.
And it's an aspect of analyzing the fine details, I guess. Not minute lah, not yet lah.
That is chile, chile, pigeon chipare, that chile, dawala, repon, repon, never done, me never ten chipilations, the pigeon chipa chile.
Function is the same. So they act as a support for abiding in contact and not abiding in contact.
What in this one? That in Emma, Tosuni, Chilela, the Rapper never done, Rapper Minibet, Denshaw, Sumbani, start on the Titishig.
So next is an explanation of their function. So what is the meaning of acting as a support for abiding in contact and not abiding in contact?
어떻게 했다 제단다 똑바는 좁아니라 아니지 다 계획차다 미계획차 네가 용해시
investigation and analysis are each of two types here. They are non-virtuous investigation analysis. They are also non-virtuous investigation analysis.
어떻게 했다 그래서나 다 계획 초수 계획 독주니기 아니지 대우 이동화 제와 체배에서
So investigation and analysis belonging to the class of virtue act to produce pleasant results, thus acting as a support for abiding in contact with happiness.
Mm-hmm. rekpala neba sayde dishide timendorwa rekpala nebe tencheba sayde tokcho nyeki tatire rekpala nebe tencheba sayde tatunda dewala rekpala nebe tencheba sayde sungusare.
So basically this is an explanation of how they function to act as a support for coming into for abiding in contact. Yeah. So abiding in contact here means abiding in contact with happiness. And investigation and analysis belonging to the class of non-virtue act to produce unpleasant results, thus acting as a support for not abiding in contact with happiness. So investigation which engages with in a virtuous object, you know, and the way the mode of engagement is coarse, yeah. So that kind of investigation is virtuous. And similarly, an analysis that engages in the virtuous object, you know, and analyzes it, you know, with analyzing the fine details of that virtuous object becomes then a virtuous analysis. Yeah. And the opposites of those are non-virtuous,
right? Tela ship to choba soni give chota.
Moreover, investigation and fine analysis of the meaning of selflessness with the thought to definitely emerge from cyclic existence and so forth belong to the class of virtue. Investigation and fine analysis of the modes of pleasant or unpleasant objects motivated by attachment, anger, and so forth belong to the class of
non-virtue.
Analysis and investigation of work and behavior and so forth, they are neither virtuous or non-virtuous minds, are unspecified. Most of our investigation and analysis are non-virtuous, yeah, because it's either engaged with a pleasant or unpleasant object motivated by the afflictions, right? So virtuous investigation and virtuous analysis is kind of rare, difficult for us.
So
So why are these four, sleep, regret, investigation, and analysis, called changeable? They are called changeable because they become virtuous, non-virtuous, or unspecified through the force of being concomitant with the motivating thought. So this here, there's something to think about. You know, when we talk about investigation and analysis, you know, are they necessarily conceptual? I personally wonder whether they are necessarily conceptual. I would think that they are probably not necessarily conceptual, but it is something that we need to think about here. Then, afflicted sleep, regret, investigation, and analysis obscure the entire class of virtue in general, and especially the three higher trainings. So as Nagarjuna has said, you know, the five obscurations, yeah, excitement and regret count as one, harmful intent, sleep and lethargy. And then count as one, aspiration for the desire realm, then and doubt. These are the five obscurations. Be aware that they are thieves who steal away the wealth of virtue. So the five obscurations are just listed there, right, isn't it? So excitement and regret count as one, sleep and lethargy one, then you have harmful intent, aspirations for the attributes of the desire realm, and then doubt. So these are the five, yeah. Next is an explanation of how these five obscurations obscure the one's three higher trainings. Aspiration for the attributes of the desire realm and harmful intent mainly obscure the training in ethics. Whereas sleep, lethargy, excitement, and regret mainly obscure the higher training in concentration. Doubt, investigation, analysis mainly obscure the higher training in wisdom. Uh, It is fairly, it's quite obvious how doubt obscures one's higher training in wisdom. Yeah. But what about analysis and investigation? Yeah? So I'm not exactly sure how investigation and analysis can obscure the training in wisdom. Yeah. But if we read the higher training in wisdom here in this context to refer specifically to the meditative equipoise, focusing single-pointedly on emptiness, if the higher training in wisdom refers to this, then of course the investigation and analysis would hinder, isn't it? Would obstruct, isn't it? Yeah, you're supposed to be focusing upon the meditative equipoise on emptiness. While you're in that state, then of course any kind of analysis and investigation will choo-choo your meditative stabilization, right? So but I'm not sure is whether this is the explanation here. Because otherwise, we will still have to explain how investigation and analysis obscure the higher training in wisdom.
Anybody have an idea?
Investigation and analysis. No, yeah, you're supposed to be investigating on emptiness, right? It's for selflessness, right? So how can that be non-virtuous? The object is virtuous, right? Can try. Yeah. It's not on Ng Bung Ge.
So the just to clarify, the investigation is on wisdom itself. You're saying this investigation analysis. It's not investigation on any mundane stuff like sciences or astrology, things like that.
Qigong.
Qigong.
Tai Chi. Karasatana. Maratatanda Tirata. Tatanda Tituati Tirata. Tokba na Chobasta.
The question is, how does investigation and analysis obscure the higher training in wisdom?
I can think of two examples.
Okay, lai.
Okay, one is, of course, if you are going to investigate and analyze things like sciences and all that, then you take away your time from training in wisdom. Right? I mean, Rupuji said if the scientists actually spend the same amount of time they spend in analyzing science, they'll be probably enlightened or have reached a higher state. Yeah. So your analysis and investigation has been right. Not any kind of knowledge.
If that's, If that's the case, then investigation and analysis will also obscure the higher training in concentration, isn't it? You understand why are these two specifically mentioned as the obscuring factors for wisdom, you know? Because if you explain in this way, then you also basically obscure everything. Doubt is quite straightforward, yeah. I mean, we can understand basically how doubt can interfere with our training and wisdom, but how does investigation and analysis, you know, hinder one's training and wisdom? So if we go according to your explanation, then we would also have to say that then investigation analysis will also obscure the higher training and concentration. I thought you have two things to say. The paragraph immediately after this talks about how these five obscurations obscure ethics and concentration. Yeah. Right, according to the compendium of knowledge, the five obscurations obscure ethics and meditative stabilization. So whereas another text explains that only concentration is obscured by these five. Although there appear to be many modes of explanations in both the Abhidharmas and the numerous lengthy explanations in other texts, since they are very extensive, I cannot discuss all of them here.
That's the nice way to put. The topic becomes difficult and it just would like that.
Don't put that in the exam paper.
So
I cannot
how can a virtuous sleep and virtuous regret obscure meditative stabilization?
Sorry, how does virtuous
regret sleep and virtuous regret obscure meditative stabilization? So does it only actually refer to non-virtuous sleep and non-virtuous regret? For that matter, first this one.
ちょっと待ってよ。ちょっと待ってよ。どっちなんだこう、カルソルタコ。どこなんだろうな。カルソルタ。だ、カルソルタコ、イラチャップロスクとか、ミドシンドイラチャップセディ、ギョベンゴシャンドかな。ロバ。
It's a regret is posited as a remorseful mind, yeah? that dislikes, yeah. Yeah, it's a mind of dislike. It's a remorseful mind. I guess you could say that regret, you know, can interfere, yeah, with concentration, yeah, because precisely because of what regret is a remorseful mind, you know, that's disliked, yeah.
And virtuous sleep. Even in the middle watch.
What? Virtuous sleep? Have your concentration, you mean?
Yeah, whether it's virtuous or non-virtuous is essentially an obstacle to concentration, yeah.
As for investigation and analysis, could it be that, for example, for the non-Buddhists investigating and analyzing that the I to be permanent, unitary and independent, and for the lower school to analyze the I to exist inherently, to investigate and analyze that the I exists inherently, be the main obstacles for training in wisdom?
What? Can you repeat?
For the investigation analysis being obstacles for training in wisdom, could it be for the non-Buddhists investigating and analyzing the I to be permanent, unitary, and independent, and concluding so? And for the lower schools, the non-Buddhist lower schools, investigating and analyzing the I to inherently exist, not merely imputed by the mind, but findable from its own sight, and concluding so under investigation and analysis, be the obstacles for training in wisdom?
What is the object of analysis?
In this case, would be the I that does not exist.
We have to think about investigation and analysis. Are they necessarily factually concordant minds? Need investigation and analysis to be factually concordant minds or not? So that's. So we have to think of whether investigation and analysis are necessarily factually concordant minds. Yeah, so the thing to think about is basically how these two, investigation and analysis, can obscure, hinder the training, higher training in wisdom. Yeah. So sleep is classified as a changeable mental factor, whereas lethargy is classified as a secondary affliction, right? So then, but why are they counted as one? When in the listing of the five obscurations, these two are counted as one, isn't it? So the response is that generally they are not the same. Since lethargy is involved with ignorance and sleep can either be virtuous or non-virtuous, lethargy is said to be a secondary affliction and sleep a changeable mental factor. Similarly for excitement and regret, you know, why are they counted as one? Where you have regret, you know, being a changeable mental factor, and excitement being a secondary affliction, isn't
it?
So since excitement is involved with attachment, and regret can either be virtuous or non-virtuous, excitement is said to be a secondary affliction, and then regret a changeable mental factor. So why are these two pairs of mental factors taken to be one, you know, in the context of the five obscurations? The reasons being because they are produced from the same cause, they are abandoned by the same antidotes, and they accord in having the same function. That they are produced from the same cause refers to the following. Both lethargy and sleep are produced from overeating, an unhappy mind, a discouraged mind, and relishing taste. Both excitement and regret are produced from conceptions or having indulged in the attributes of the desire realm, having fun, laughing, and so forth in the past, and from the notion that one will not die and the like.
Course.
That they are abandoned by the same antidote refers to the following. Both lethargy and sleep are dispelled by the discrimination of illumination. And excitement and regret are dispelled by holding the mind inwards on an object of observation. That the accord in having the same function refers to the following. Since both lethargy and sleep cause discouragement within the mind, they hinder meditative stabilization and especially the clarity of the objects of observation. And since both excitement and regret hinder single-pointed abiding, their functions accord.
Mm.
So basically, these are the reasons for counting excitement and regret as one, and sleep and lethargy as one in the context of the five obscurations. Here I say, having strongly tied us with thousands of nooses of karma to the prison of cyclic existence since beginningless time, the enemies who torture us with hundreds of unbearable sufferings and agonies are certainly the afflictions themselves. So in the wilderness covered by thickets of cyclic existence, the intolerable thieves who steal even the slightest benefit and happiness and torment us without allowing a single moment's relief are just those afflictions. Shloka Shiyoro. Shloka Shiyoro. Who is more foolish than one who holds this enemy from beginningless time as his dear friend, planting him at the center of his heart, but holds his enemies, his kind father and mother sentient beings, the six types of migrators? Instead, if intelligent, discerning people were to uproot the enemy of afflictions from their hearts and cherish their kind parents, planting these wish-fulfilling gems at the very center of their hearts, it would be far better. So this is an advice from the author. The whole reason, basically he's saying the whole reason why we study all this list of afflictions, the six root and the 20 secondary afflictions, is to be able to identify them and to see that these are the real enemy, yeah, and not the others, yeah, not the sentient beings. So on page 90, a summary of the salient points and their applications to practice. Yeah. Having understood the presentation of minds and mental factors, it is important to know how to use it as a method for subduing one's own mind. Otherwise, if one takes delight in merely arguing with others, holding forth just to prove one's point, or pedantically listing synonyms, then there is not much purpose. So just as is said in the King of the Meditative Stabilization Sutra, yeah. Although I have explained the good doctrine, if you do not put it into practice correctly after having heard it, then you are like a sick person who clutches a bag of medicine but is unable to cure his sickness. So in Shantideva said, in brief, to examine the state of the body and mind again and again is the sole defining characteristic of guarding introspection. Nagarjuna said, know that the mind is like a drawing made on water, earth or stone. From among these, in regard to the afflicted, the first is best, And in regard to wishing for the Dharma, the last.
어떻게 따던다 되나 소한테 되네마레 다 가르스나 다 랑기 제베 심디 아니지 가르스나 다 집단다 빼든다 자스 출라리 무티에 살라리 무티에 돌라리 마토 진데 뺏음 자스 다 제베 심디 아니지 템보지 거야 돌라리 무티와 낭신시다 제베 심 템보지 거야 되지 모레스다 제식 숨고요레
The analogy that is used here is, you know, a drawing that is made on water, earth, and stone. So, with regards to virtuous minds, they should be like a drawing that is made on stone. Because a drawing that is made on stone is very long-lasting, it's very stable, yeah. And with regards to our afflictions, you know, it is best that they are like a drawing or made on water, because the drawing made on water doesn't last, and it can be, you know, easily erased. Yeah. So, you know, we should basically we deal with our afflictions in such a way. So yeah, the essential point of studying all these mind and mental factors is to be able to cultivate a very strong virtuous states of mind and make sure that they're stable and long lasting. And then, you know, make sure that our afflictions, you know, even if they arise, make sure that they don't last for a long time. You know, so try to deal with it immediately. So Ngumbawa said, in order to abandon the afflictions, you must know the drawbacks, their defining characteristics, and the antidotes of the afflictions, as well as the causes for their production. Having understood their drawbacks, regard them as faults and hold them as enemies. Without understanding their drawbacks, you will not understand that they are enemies. Okay? And so forth. Just as he has been said above, as soon as an affliction arises in your continuum, having forcefully recognized it, thinking, this is it, it has arisen, you must examine which causes and conditions produced it, and what the object observation from which it arose is, and then regarding it as a fault, hold it as an enemy and immediately overcome it with the antidote. Then on the bottom of page 92. If tomorrow or the next day someone were to ask all your disciples, what are you practicing as the core of quintessential instructions? They would answer that it was to attain clairvoyance or a vision of their personal deity. However, they should answer, having become more and more certain about karma, and the cause and results of actions. We are practicing to guard purely whatever vows we have committed ourselves to. Therefore, an attainment of meditation refers to the afflictions such as ignorance becoming weaker and weaker. What does it mean to have achieved an attainment from one's daily practice, or let's say, you know, going to retreat? You know, what does it mean to have success? That you've achieved something, whether it is a daily practice or retreat. If we see our afflictions becoming weaker over time, then that is a sign of having achieved, having actualized the attainments. Similarly, if one's conviction in the cause and effect karma increases, you know, then that is a very clear sign, you know, that you're achieving something in your practice, or when you know when your ability to practice ethics, you know, increases, you know, then that is the then it means you're achieving something. That's the attainment, you know. It's not about being clairvoyant, and it's not about seeing deities. So even you know, if you to your practice you see the deity, you know, it's no big deal, so what, you know? Yeah. So the main thing is, you know, really the mind and the afflictions are becoming weaker over time. That's the real result, yeah. Then on page 94, the second paragraph, second verse. So the author is kind of confessing any mistakes made in an explanation. Yeah. So he said, I, owing to inferior merit, am born at the end of time. My eye of awareness is hazy and my training poor. Therefore, whatever I failed to explain or have explained wrongly here, I confess to the wise. So this applies to me in my own case, yeah. So in the course of the explanation and in the course of this module, you know, there were perhaps correct explanations and there were perhaps also many more incorrect explanations, yeah. But even if there were, that was not done intentionally. So in my case, then I also have to confess. Their eye of awareness polluted by unbearable poison, their hearts agitated by evil spirits of the eight worldly dharmas, even though they belittle me and are infuriated, I shall have nothing to do with them.
And
Then the dedication of merit. By this virtue, may I and all my grading beings come under the care of the holy spiritual guides of the Mahayana, and becoming holders of all the modes of the profound and extensive Dharma without exception, attaining the eloquence of self-reliance in regard to what is very difficult to fathom, in order to liberate all my grading beings without exception, may I become just like the Supreme Guru Manjushri. So basically, dedicating and praying, you know, to be able to be like Lama Tsongkhapa, you know, right? To be able to engage in extensive hearing and contemplation on the profound and extensive teachings of the Buddha, and to be always taken care of by the Mahayana gurus. So essentially, and to be able to be all, to be of great benefit to sentient beings.
Oh, dinner sha, the Joksin Tangazo, Chiban Dashung, Ben Simpson, Jung, Namsha Sudo, the Jinzo Tabucha, Yimbal, Tangaran Lata, Tosa Mambu Shaba dinner, Tando Taji, Kanetan Tabucha, they sit in the Yuguyore, in Ayanta. There's a church, some of this Dana, and some Pajasha, Tin the Yung to it.
So you know, whenever we try to study the mind, you know, and how it works, you know, the mind and mental factors, it is not easy. It's really challenging. Yeah, and in my case also, it's challenging. Although I've done the years of studies, and also thinking about these topics, and I also find it challenging. Yeah. But whatever the case, it's definite that all of us, including myself, have planted, you know, imprints, imprint in our minds. So this is something, just something to feel happy about, to rejoice.
Oh, yeah. Tube Gabla, looking counter to the natural Toma, Desi, looking Chituna, and it pendled Jachimoy, or Tinde, Gomba Jace, Simpson Mutiny Gateway, or Tide.
So we need to keep in mind that we need to keep in mind of the need, you know, to continue to learn, you know, the Buddha's teachings, you know, while we are able to. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so that's all. What to say that so that you do this, mix it around your day, Kayamare, so Tanga the Lodi Dun said the cousin Motor Chavana Shin, Lodi Dun Vietnam Shati, Yapu Motor Chivas, Rota, Lodi Dotan Toshi, Lodi Dun Vietnam Shati, Rota, the Umbo Shabasu, Judan King, Candace, then Jiggy, Yiggy Shabas, Candace Jiggy. On shade and shivy chaba, dogotom and shivy chaba, that in Dosita, rope to the Kwa Chakwa Chishmore, that you do manchet in the Doshin in Murita.
So, nothing much to say about the exam, just that, But, anyways, it always goes back to the sevenfold division of consciousness. It always goes back to there, you know. So you have a rough understanding of what they are, you know, and also the difference between a sense consciousness and a mental consciousness. And so what are the conditions that, you know, that are required for sense consciousness to arise, you know, and what are the conditions that and they are necessary for mental consciousness to arise, and also the difference, you know, between a non-conceptual mind and a conceptual mind. Yeah. So I guess most of the questions will be based on these
points, yeah.
So the whole purpose of the exam, the exam, the function of the exam, so to speak, is, you know, to act as a support. This is my own translation. As a support for learning. If your wish to take part in an exam or you're by coming to the exam doesn't fulfill this goal, then it's better not to come. Yeah, it's better not to come.
Okay, that's all. Yeah.
Okay.
Then I thought some June to a Kashiyun Dokore and that ballet to a Karasogo machine some tangure. What in that?
So yeah, also maybe there'll be some questions about the mental factors. Yeah, there's some couple of questions, but I'm not exactly sure. Yeah, because we haven't thought about it yet. So
I haven't thought about the question, so I don't know what kind of question to make. So I don't know. Yeah. I need to see my dream. Yeah.
Okay, so mandala offering. Okay, so page 29. So she joy me do dra
Dajin
Jere se wang ten sing yao zi yin sha be si de ba du ten yu ji do ne ning je song de ju be lam chi ji sau zi kang jen ten ju gun cha na pen mo ten si so wa de zi shin dun lun ru shun te zi jan xin jiang gun jiao wen ten sing jiang ba wei gun zi do be chou zun gu wei lun lun te zi ba da zu du jing gun de sha de shun chi ki jiao lu zong ga ba wa la ge ge ten ma shu tu ge ma lu ca wa shu da da xin ge tu zun dan zhe wei cun ni lo ten ni jiao wa lu song chao ten ba yu rin ba yu ji. So class will only resume probably about in 4 months' time, yeah. So it's quite a long break. So it's good that if you get into the habit of reading, doing constant reading. Otherwise, if you don't read, then it can become an obstacle. It becomes an obstacle, yeah. Once you get into the you break the habit, then it becomes an obstacle, yeah. So every now and then, perhaps can get together for discussion. Those who wish to can come together and also during the breaks, those of you who want, can organize groups. If you want to engage in preliminary practices, for accumulating merit and purification, such as prostrations, mandala offerings, or what have you, So the break is quite long, 4 months. So during this time, if you completely then disconnect from the Dharma, from idea of Dharma, and then disconnect from the center, then it will become a very big obstacle. So it's important not to do that. To put aside time, to come, engage in some of these activities.
Okay, that's all. Yeah.